Good morning. It's the 3rd of September. Our first reading for the day is 2 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother Wood's book on Elisha. Brother Woods describes the events that are recorded in the first few verses of this chapter and then writes this. It will be very clear to the discerning reader that God was at work in the events described here. In the choice of the topic which Gehazi was expanding upon, in the interest of the king, in the activities of Elisha, and particularly in the timing of the woman's return and her decision to bring her petition to the king when she had discovered that her house and her land had been taken over by others. All would seem perfectly natural, but the strands were being woven together to ensure a happy outcome for the tribulations that the Shunammite and her son had endured. Time and chance might happen to all men, but the ways of providence can be observed overruling the apparent casual turn of events here. We can imagine the servant rehearsing the unexpected conception of this dearly loved boy, his sudden, but also unexpected, death at noonday during harvest time, the mother's great faith in riding so many miles to fetch Elisha from Carmel, and her insistence on the personal attention and attendance of the prophet himself, as if she sensed that Gehazi would be an ineffectual go-between. Gehazi would have to tell of his own failure, but of the double pleading of the master to God in prayer for the life of the lad. And then he would relate the boy's wonderful restoration to life. The drama of the reconstruction of these events would hold the attention of the king, when, suddenly, who should appear at the place where this conversation was taking place but the woman of Shunem herself and her special son, now, of course, much older and possibly even fully grown. What an unusual coincidence it would have appeared to be. No wonder this is one of the events that Blunt selects for his attention in his Undesigned Coincidences. The Shunammite woman appeared at the crucial moment, not a moment too soon or too late. The way had therefore been thoroughly prepared for the king to listen very favourably to the woman's request for the restoration of her house and land, and he listened with sympathy to her statements. A royal command was issued, and an officer appointed to see to it. The land and farm was to be restored, all of it, but there was a bonus. And all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Can we imagine what 7 years back pay would mean to us? It would certainly be more than enough to re-establish a way of life that would thereafter be far easier to sustain. We can only imagine what might have befallen the woman and her son if they had decided to ignore the warning of Elisha and had stayed in the land. Of course, it may well have been that she would still have been the object of divine protection against the hardships of the famine. But she must have rejoiced that for her reward she obtained not only her old home back again, but also the fruits of the field during the 7 year absence. I do not feel, writes Brother Woods, that it is stretching this passage to extend the meaning to show that God has the same loving care in these days, when there is a different sort of famine, that of hearing the words of the Lord. We have responded to the words of the greater than Elisha, and have followed his advice. A more glorious inheritance awaits those who are faithful, and we may feel confident that the same happy result awaits those whose pleas come before the King of Kings. Thank you for listening.